I just know where my value is at, and I'm not going to budge for nobody.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. The NBA season, we're a few days away from that beginning, about 4 or 5 days now. So what I thought I'd do is, preseason isn't over, but we're not far away, is going through and looking at all 30 NBA teams, some news and notes from each team, some, rotation notes and how I think the rotations for these teams are going to play out, updated news, all that stuff. It's probably going to be a long podcast, so strap yourselves in and check out some notes for all of these teams before you have your final drafts over the weekend. Michael Bolton. Let's get to it, indeed. We will start with the Atlanta Hawks. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can see up on the screen. On the left are my presumed opening night starters. On the right are the other rotation players. So I've got 10 rotation guys listed. So I'll just go through that first. For the Hawks, I think we're going to have Trae Young, Fantapants, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, the Baptist John Collins, and Alex Len as your starters. And then the rest of the rotation, Evan Turner, DeAndre Bembry, Cam Reddish, Jabari Parker, and Damian Jones. Now, Huerter has not played at all in the preseason with a knee injury. Cam Reddish has started the last two games, so if Huerter isn't ready to go, Reddish will jump into that role. Reddish can provide steals and threes on a short-term basis. He hasn't been fantastic in the preseason, and he's only shot 23% on his threes so far. DeAndre Bembry has also started some games. He could be an interesting defensive streamer if Huerter happens to miss time. Trae Young has been pretty strong through the preseason, 18-5-7 in only 28 minutes. So I think he's really locked in as that second-round guy. Alex Len not playing a huge amount, and the shooting is way off for him, just 32% from the field for Len. So that will obviously improve as the season goes on. Same with John Collins, who's hitting just 38% of his shots. So if you look at Collins' numbers and are a bit underwhelmed at 10 and 8 rebounds, part of that reason is he's at 53% from the line, 38% from the field, and playing only 25 minutes a night. So those numbers will come back up, as will his production. As for rookie DeAndre Hunter, he's played 25 a night. He's going to be locked in, I think, as a starting small forward and playing 30-plus minutes a night. Does that mean he's a good fantasy option? I don't think he's all that great there. He's averaging 10 points, 1-3, 2.5 boards with 2.5 assists. The shooting is okay. To me, he's more of a 14-team league guy, 12-team back-end player, but fairly limited upside overall. As for Huerter, people panic because they haven't seen him during the preseason, and I understand why they would do that. I'm still holding on to him. I still think that he's going to be able to come in, score well, and get some assists, and that's going to have an impact on Hunter when Huerter actually is ready to play and getting those minutes for the Hawks. But it might be a marginally slow start to the season for Kevin Huerter and the Atlanta Hawks. Let's look now at the Boston Celtics. Their presumed starting five: Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Vanilla Tice, Daniel Tice. I think he will be their starting center. A lot of hype about the rock DJ, Robbie Williams. A lot of hype about Enes Kanter. Well, not hype. There was talk about Enes Kanter, but it does appear to me that Tice will be the starting center for this team, and he will come out and be that major minute guy. Now, we have barely seen Williams play. He can come out and block some shots, but he's playing like 10 minutes a night as a center during the preseason, so obviously nothing all that exciting with him. In terms of rotation guys, Carson Edwards went bananas the other night for the Celtics, 8 threes and a quarter, but again, getting those minutes behind Walker, Brown, and Marcus Smart, I just don't see enough playing time for him. If an injury strikes one of those guys, but more importantly, two of those guys, then you could look for Edwards. We get really excited about rookies. We get really excited about one-game performances. And if you go back and look at the rest of Edwards' preseason games, you'd go, what the hell am I getting myself all hard and hot and bothered over when nothing there was all that exciting? But it was great to see that huge performance from Edwards. He's averaged 3.5 threes across his 4 games, which is obviously really strong, but 9 of those came in 1 game. and he's done nothing else. Half an assist, 0.3 steals. The shooting has been crazy, 45% from three as well. The rest of the rotation, so Carson Edwards, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, Robert Williams, and Enes Kanter is my guess. Now, that leaves them pretty big, but considering they're starting four wings, having those two centers in their rotation, Williams and Kanter, will enable them to stagger those guys. Tatum can go off. Haywood can move down to the three. Grant Williams playing the majority of those backup 4 minutes. Daniel Tice can play some 4 minutes as well. So that's how I think it'll go. But in terms of Robert Williams, I think 10, 11 minutes is probably all we're going to be seeing from him, at least to begin this season. And he is their third string center. And I wouldn't be stunned if Vincent Poirier... Hey, how's my French pronunciation for that? I think Poirier is a real chance to actually get minutes ahead of Williams in some games. So don't be surprised to see Poirier in that rotation ahead of The Rock DJ Robbie Williams. Let's move on now to the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving is going to make another preseason appearance today. We haven't really seen much of him. He played like, I think, 1 minute before having to leave the game in China with the facial fracture, but he's going to be ready to go. So the starting five for Brooklyn, I've got as Kyrie, Smokin' Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, the artist formerly known as Torian Prince, and Jarrett Allen. On the bench, Spencer Dinwiddie, Garrett Temple, Jahnen Musa, Rowdy Rodions Kurucs, and DeAndre Jordan. I think that Allen is going to start the majority of games, but it's still probably going to be a timeshare between him and DeAndre Jordan. Kurucs could take that spot over Prince as the starting power forward, and I think that Musa is in there, at least for now, over Wilson Chandler. I would hope that he would remain there over Wilson Chandler, but it leaves guys like Lance Thomas and Nick Claxton and one of those Musa Chandler guys on the outside looking in when all is said and done. It also does leave David Nwaba on the outside looking in. He could come in and play over Garrett Temple. That is a possibility, but these are really limited fantasy options. As for Prince, I've talked about it a lot. He's averaging 18 points throughout the preseason. He's shooting 74% from three, so that is obviously going to come down. The 23% usage, again, no Kyrie, so 23% usage is probably going to fall off. So I look at Prince as a back-end guy. He could be a little bit more improved from last season. There is an opportunity there. But given the upside cap on his minutes, the fact that maybe he's not that good, and he's also not going to shoot at this level, I think we need to be really calm in terms of looking at those numbers from Prince and getting too excited, because there are people who are really, really interested in what he's doing, because, again, it's coming on these numbers, which are wholly unsustainable. And that is always something that we need to pay attention to. Let's go on and look at the Charlotte Hornets now. The presumed starting five for me for this team is Terry Rozier, the Baconator Dwayne Bacon, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, and Cody Zeller. And then coming off the bench, Devontae Graham, Malik Monk, Cody Martin, I think has been quite good, as has Caleb Martin. So it could be one of those Martins in there. Nick Batum and Marvin Williams. So you'll see there in that backup five, I don't actually have a backup center. I think you'll see Paul Washington Jr. play those minutes. I think you'll see Marvin Williams play those minutes rather than Bill Hernan Gomez, and definitely rather than Bismack Biyombo. So a lot of wings in that rotation. Now, Batum has been out of preseason with this Achilles issue. That is going to push him to the bench, and not because I'm pretty sure they are going to go with Washington here and Bridges. Washington I love as a later round pick, 11th, 12th round sort of guy, getting big man numbers. There's an area of the draft where there's a lot of big men, and then you get to round 11 and 12, and all the rebounds are gone, unless you want a Jakob Poeltl. But Washington, to me, is ahead of those guys. He's been really good. Now, his shooting also is probably going to fall off. He's at 63% from the field, 50% from three, and 82% from the free throw line. Go look at his college numbers. He was like a 68% free throw guy. He is not this level of producer. So his preseason numbers, where he's the 41st ranked fantasy guy, it's not going to stick at this level. But as a back-end guy, 11th, 12th round sort of a player, as a rookie who's going to push into pretty good minutes, PJ looks pretty solid there. Miles Bridges, people are quite disappointed with his preseason, averaging 8.6 points. There's a couple of reasons for that. 36% shooting, he's going to be better than that. He was like a 46 or 47 guy last year, so that will improve. So I'm not too worried there. I am encouraged by 6 rebounds in 27 minutes, 1.6 blocks. He got 2 steals in the last game. He's hit 91% of his free throws. So while his numbers haven't been super impressive, I'm still looking at him as a middle to late round guy for this season. And he might be actually turning into a bit of a buy low player just at just at this portion of the season. Devontae Graham also looked really good. I think there's a real chance that Graham could be a better player than Terry Rozier. He's not going to get those minutes over him, but Graham is in the rotation to start the season. A deeper league guy for sure, averaging 4 assists with 12 points, shooting better than he did last season, which isn't hard because it was horrible. And as for Rozier, I really like him in that 50 to 60 range. 15, 4 and 5, he's averaging 1.3 steals, 49% from the field. That will undoubtedly come down. He's shooting 47% from three, but he is really, really strong in those mid-rounds for fantasy drafts. So that's how I'm looking at the rotation for the Charlotte Hornets. Oh, actually, talk of Dwayne Bacon, who's doing Dwayne Bacon things. 13 points, 0 steals, 2 assists and 3 rebounds. This is what Bacon does. He's shooting inefficiently. In a points league, his value is amplified because he's a volume scorer who does nothing else. He's not super efficient and doesn't do really too much more. He's fine as a late-round pick. I would prefer Miles Bridges significantly above him. I would prefer Washington over him as well. But Bacon is a 12-team league guy who's going to have a ton of opportunity on this Charlotte team. Let's look at the Chicago Bulls. We've heard the news that Tomas Satoransky is the starting point guard over Chris Dunn. No surprise there. So the starters will be Satoransky, Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter. Now, Wendell Carter has had ankle issues this preseason. He's had a thumb issue. He's had a tailbone issue. He actually just aggravated his thumb today. We don't know, or I don't know at the time of recording, whether he's going to play. So that's obviously a little bit of a concern. Then as for the backup rotation, now, I'm looking at this rotation. This could be a little bit different. Chris Dunn, Kobe White, the Hammer, Denzel Valentine, Thad Young, and Daniel Gafford. But I am thinking that Valentine might not be in that rotation, and you might have someone like Ryan Arcejacano in there. Maybe he's even in ahead of Chris Dunn as well. I feel good that Kobe White's in there, Thad Young's in there. You could also see Luke Kornet come in ahead of Daniel Gafford in the back end of that rotation. As for White, he's a long way from being standard league relevant. Dunn is not there either, whereas all those five starters are 12-team league players. As for Dunn, he's had a shitload of steals in the preseason, 2.8 per game, but only 6.5 points, really low usage, the shooting 20% from three. These are all the concerns we have with him. LaVine has been fantastic, 23 points in 24 minutes a game, really, really strong numbers, should be a top 50 guy. Satoransky averaging 8, 5, and 5 with 2.3 steals. Love him picking around pick 100, but he could push a lot higher than that. Markkanen hasn't quite been there. His lack of defense is why I worry about him. He's had one steal and no blocks through three games, and he's been inefficient shooting the ball, just 38% on his two-point attempts, but everything else is pretty much in line with what he did last season. Well, Otto Porter has played under 20 minutes a night. He's sort of doing Otto Porter things, 11, 4, and 4. The steals haven't been there. They will come. He's also weirdly missing his free throw, so I'm not really worried there. Kobe White is doing his Dwayne Bacon impression, 17 points in 26 minutes with one assist per game and two steals through four games. Inefficient from the field, inefficient from the line, lack really no assist, no rebound type numbers for White, but he can be a volume scorer type, but that's really just looking at him as a deeper league sort of a player. Let's move on to the next team. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I reckon at this point, this is a team I've got the lowest amount of confidence in their rotation when looking at it. I think they are going to start with Colin Sexton, Brandon Knight, Chetty Osman, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. The other name I could throw in there as a starter instead of Knight, I think Matthew Dellavedova has a chance to get that. I don't think they're going to put Garland in initially. I think once we get to November, Darius Garland will be in that mix. But that rotation, there's so many question marks. As for the bench, Dellavedova, Garland, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and the Muppet, John Henson. I've heard them talk about Henson and his rim protection ability. They've got no one who blocks shots on this team. Thompson, Love, Nance, these aren't shot blockers. Henson can do that. So he might be a guy that's in that rotation, but he's had some ankle problems through the preseason, so that's limited him. Kevin Porter Jr., people are talking up him quite a bit. I just don't see the rotation spot for him. Maybe you could say he gets in over Dellavedova, but I'm pretty confident that Dally's going to begin the year in the rotation and then will be phased out later on. Clarkson's going to have to play some small forward, even though he's not a small forward. Neither is Kevin Porter, but probably better suited to that. But I don't think we're going to see Porter in that rotation initially. Now, as for Porter, he had one really strong game, but other than that, he's had 8 points per game, 2 rebounds, and 0.8 assists. So again, we look at that one game and go, oh, yeah, Kevin Porter, what a steal, great pick. And then the other games have been, bad. I think that's fair to say. Speaking of bad, Colin Sexton is doing what he did last year. He's scoring and he's not doing anything else. Two rebounds, under two assists, one steal in four games. Like, these peripheral numbers is why I don't believe in him as a long-term fantasy prospect. The other name I think we do have to pay attention to here is Jarrell Martin, who's been getting a lot of playing time in the preseason. 6-6, he's averaging 19 minutes. It looks like he's going to make the final roster. I don't know for sure about that, but that's what it looks like. They did cut Sindarius Thornwell, who'd been one of their better players through the preseason, so that remains to be seen. But Martin is an interesting name, at least to keep an eye on for deeper formats, but he'd need to get in there ahead of Henson or Nance in that backup rotation. It is worrying me how they're using Nance, and yeah, I really like what he can do. If he gets 26 minutes a night, he's a comfortable top 100 guy, but if what are they playing, 22 a night? That's a real concern. They should be looking to see how he can pair with Love in that front court. He flashed a lot of talent last season, but I just worry that they are going to limit Larry, unfortunately, for this season, for Cavs fans and for fantasy people who are interested in him, because he does have that really interesting skill set, but it is a lot of it predicated on steals and field goal percentage, which when the value is concentrated in one or two categories, it does become quite precarious. Let's look now at the Dallas Mavericks. Their starters, I feel like, are pretty set. D'Lon Wright, Luka Doncic, Justin Jackson, Kristaps Porzingis, and Dwight Powell, who's missed most of the preseason with a hamstring injury. On the bench, Jalen Brunson, Seth Curry, Timmy Hardaway, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Maxi Kleber. That's how I see that rotation panning out. I've seen people drafting Tim Hardaway in standard leagues. I've got absolutely no interest in that whatsoever. He has played 22 minutes a night in the preseason and shot well, just 11 points per game on 47% shooting. I just don't see enough playing time. Doncic, 75% from the line on 11 attempts per game. And the last two games have been like 80-plus percent, which is really encouraging. So that's a huge sign for him. Porzingis, the blocks aren't there. Just one block so far. The efficiency's way off. This is going to be concerns with him coming back from the ACL, but still pretty strong in that area. I thought Jalen Brunson has looked really good, and Seth Curry has looked the opposite of that. Curry can't hit his shot. That will improve. He's at 50% Curry on his threes, but he hasn't made a single two-pointer in the preseason, and his assists aren't there, so there's definitely concern there with him. Justin Jackson is not a fantasy guy. Kleber is more of a stream-type option. Finney-Smith, of course, is one of the worst fantasy options around, but that's how I see that Dallas Mavericks rotation panning out for at least opening night. The next one we look at is the Denver Nuggets. I've got the starters is pretty comfortably Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Barton, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, and Nikola Jokic. And then off the bench, Monty Morris, Malik Beasley, Michael Porter Jr., Jeremy Grant, and Mason Plumlee. Now, we don't know about the starting small forward. Torrey Craig's been in the mix there as well. We've heard Juancho Hernangómez. We'd be pretty stunned if he was in the rotation there. And I think Porter is going to get that backup role over Torrey Craig there. That's, again, not locked in for the Denver Nuggets. I think when we see Harris's minutes push back up this season, that is going to have an impact on Beasley. It's going to have an impact on Morris. Now, Beasley's been doing what he does, except he's been rebounding the ball as well. 14.5 on 53% shooting, 38% from three. Elite shooting efficiency from him. On the Gary Harris side of things, encouraging numbers from Harris in terms of steal numbers returning. 9 points, 46% shooting, 38% from three. So some improvements there. Jamal Murray's shot hasn't been falling. As for Porter, 16 minutes a game, 11 points with four rebounds. Defensive numbers not quite there. 63% from the field is a number that's likely to come down or guaranteed to come down pretty much from Porter. But he's looked okay. I'm just not sure that he has a fantastic fantasy game and is more of a deeper league guy. Same as Monty Morris at this point. We love what Morris can do. I just don't see where the minutes are going to be. Jeremy Grant has been pretty good. 14 points, 2 rebounds. He's not a good rebounder. He's not a good passer. You want him for block numbers. And his value with Millsap in Denver versus where Grant was in Oklahoma City is nowhere near the same. It's just not at that same level as where it has been in the past. Let's go on to the Detroit Pistons now. Looking at their starters, I think we're going to have Reggie Jackson, the Shark, Bruce Brown, Baby Shark, Tony Snell, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond. And then Derek Rose, Langston Galloway, the Duck Luke Kennard, Markieff Morris, and Christian Wood. Now, I think Wood is almost guaranteed a roster spot, whether that means Joe Johnson loses out or they cut someone like Corey Thomas or work a trade and get rid of someone like Sfi Mikhailiuk is a possibility. But this is how I see this rotation going. Now, I don't know why they're bending over backwards to get Joe Johnson in, who's shooting 17% from three and averaging 4 points in 15 minutes. He just hasn't been all that good, but Sfi hasn't been much better. As for Brown, the defensive numbers haven't been there yet in the preseason. Tony Snell, we know what this he is. He's a three-point streamer. Brown is a steal streamer. Christian Wood's been fantastic. 13-7 with a block on 55-83. Just a name to watch at this point, especially with Blake Griffin dealing with an injury at the moment. Some hamstring soreness, you're streaming in Wood in 14 or 16 team leagues is something that might have some appeal, even though you'd think Markieff would get that role initially. Thon McCare has really battled. He's averaged 5 and 6 in 18 minutes, shooting again poorly. He just can't get the shot to fall, and that's been the case throughout his career. Derek Rose hasn't hit a three at all in the preseason, but still 12.5 points with 3.5 assists. And some strongish numbers as a points back-end guy for 12-team leagues, same as Luke Kennard, who probably just more of a back-end type of guy, but Kennard has that advantage in that he hits threes over Derek Rose. Drummond's just doing Drummond things, and the free throws have been bad. 46% on 6 attempts per game. You have to look at him as a punt free throw guy, even if he gets to like 65%. His volume of free throws is going to make it hard for him to be anything more than a punt option for the free throw percentage category. Let's move on now to a team, the Golden State Warriors, who, man, they have looked really bad in the preseason. Steph's looked pretty strong, but the rest of the team has not looked good at all. I think their starters is going to be Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, Glenn Robinson III. I'm not confident on that one. Draymond Green and Kevon Looney. The word is, now Looney hasn't played in preseason, but I have word that he will be ready for opening night with hamstring soreness. On the bench, Jacob Evans, Jordan Poole, Alec Burks, Eric Pascal, and Marquise Chris. Now, Marquise Chris has been great in the preseason. 10-8 with 1.3 blocks on 61% from the field and 90% from the line. I wouldn't say he's necessarily been a huge positive influence on the court, but it looks like he is going to make that roster. That's, again, far from guaranteed. He might be even on a two-way deal. So he's not a long-term option. He's not a 12-team flyer. He's not a 14-team league flyer. And when Looney and Cauley Stein are playing, he goes back to being a guy that's probably not even in the rotation. So don't get too excited about him. Steph's been great, and probably the underrated thing about Steph is he's had 2 steals per game across the preseason, and that's the key for him getting back into that top 3 versus top 5. The scoring is going to be there. D'Angelo Russell, not shooting well, 25% from 3, averaging 14, 2, and 3. We need those assist numbers to come back up, but still putting up a 28% usage, which is encouraging for him. He needs to get to the line more, but that's not something he's ever been strong at. And the other name who's making waves, I guess, with this team is Jordan Poole. Maybe they could start Poole instead of Glenn Robinson. I don't think he's big enough, but he's going to be getting minutes at small forward. He's hitting 3 threes a game in the preseason, and tell you why that's encouraging is because he's not shooting them well. He's doing it at just 32%, but he's getting the opportunities. He's chucking them up, 8.5 three-point attempts per game. So if they do start to come in and they fall at a higher rate, then the value of Poole becomes more interesting. He's not quite a 12-team league guy, but he's on the radar for watch list for streaming, as is Eric Pascal, who I really like. But he's more of a 16-teamer, Poole more of a 14-teamer. Alec Burks, we haven't seen in preseason. He's dealing with, I think, ankle injuries. I wouldn't be too high on him. And if they keep Marquise Chris on the full-time roster, then Alphonso McKinney is likely the guy that's going to get waived. The Houston Rockets we look at next. It has not been good for Russell Westbrook to start this season, but let's talk about how I see their lineups. Now, originally I thought it was going to be Eric Gordon starting at the three. Yesterday, Mike D'Antoni heavily intimated that Daniel House would get that spot. So Westbrook, Harden, Danny House, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella. And then off the bench with Gerald Green likely out for the season, we've got Austin Rivers, we've got Benny McLemore, who I think takes that spot. Chris Clemens is the other option there, but they signed him to a two-way today, so he's not going to be an every-night rotation guy. So Rivers, McLemore, Eric Gordon, Thabo Sefolosha, and Tyson Chandler. That's how I see that bench rotation shaking out. Gordon coming off the bench or starting, it's the same sort of value for him. He comes in, he hits threes, he doesn't do anything else, and that's been what's happened in preseason. Harden, is still my number one guy. He's averaging in preseason 29 minutes a game, but 33 points, 4 threes, 7.5 assists. Westbrook hasn't really impacted him, but on the other side, Westbrook's been significantly impacted. 16, 3, and 4.7 for Westbrook. 3 rebounds is unthinkable, and it's only 25 minutes, but that is unthinkable. He looks wild. At least as a positive for Russ, he's hitting his free throws, 75%, so maybe he can get over that issue. But the field goal percentage has been terrible. The three-pointers, 24%. He's just not getting the same usage level. He's not handling the ball. He's not rebounding. There are considerable worries, I think, here with Westbrook. As for Capella, 10 and 8 in 22 minutes. So Westbrook will have some of an impact on his rebounds, but it looks like Westbrook, again, is being the one who's really getting impacted. As for House, it doesn't matter that he's starting. He's not a target for 12 and probably even for 14 team leagues. Well, PJ Tucker is a steals guy who's hitting 22% of his shots in the preseason, so obviously not going that well for PJ at this point. The Indiana Pacers, I think we feel pretty comfortable with their starting lineup to begin the season. No Victor Oladipo there, so we're looking at Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, Tony Warren Jr., Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner. And then as a bench rotation, I think they're going to have the two Holidays, Aaron Holiday and Justin Holiday. Edmund Sumner in that rotation, Dougie McDirt, and Goga Badadze.
Problem with my Gogomobile. Gogomobile?
No, not the dart. Not the dart.
Haha, the dart, Goga Badadze, who made his preseason debut and had 14-4 with 2 triples and a block in 24 minutes. I really like Goga. Minutes are going to be hard to come by, but I think he'll be in the rotation. The guy who could be in there over, say, Sumner or even Justin Holiday is TJ McConnell, who's played 16 minutes a game through the preseason, 6-3-5, but I still think that he's going to be behind those other guys. Sumner's played 20 minutes a game. Aaron Holiday's played 16 minutes a game as well, and Justin Holiday's played 17 minutes a game. So that's probably the last decision there. Aaron, Justin, Sumner, and TJ, 3 of those 4 guys will make the rotation. Sabonis has averaged 12.5 and 11 in 25 minutes. That'll go up. The free throws have still been bad. The defensive numbers have still been bad. Nothing's changing on that end. Miles Turner is just blocking every shot in sight. He's hitting his field goals as well at a pretty strong rate, but the usage is down. That was always a concern with Sabonis joining that starting lineup, but those block numbers are really interesting. 3.5 blocks a game over 4 preseason games is obviously really, really good. Malcolm Brogdon had 14 assists in the first game. He's had 10 combined through the next 3. That was also something that I mentioned. You shouldn't be expecting that level of assists from him. While TJ Warren started out really hot. He's still hitting 50% of his threes, amazingly, after being a guy that never took them, but the attempts have dropped down pretty considerably as well. He hit 5 of 6 in the first game, and then he hasn't attempted anywhere near that amount after that. I believe he's attempted 14 total, so that's 8 over the next 3 games. Really dropped down, and of course, no other supporting stats for Warren. And again, another indication is when you see this big game to really dig in and not overreact too much to it, because the other 3 games from him have been relatively underwhelming, I would say. Let's talk about the LA Clippers and what I presume their rotation is going to be opening night. You'll see no Paul George is in that rotation. Originally, I thought that Flaming Mo Harkless would be the starter. It doesn't appear that way at the moment from talking to Clippers people. I think they're going to have Patrick Beverley, Landry Shamet, the fun guy Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
Jermichael Green and Ivica Zubats, and then off the bench, Terrence Mann, Lou Williams, Mo Harkless, Scooter Magruder, and Montrezl Harrell. Now, Magruder could very easily be replaced by Jerome Robinson, I think there's a possibility, and Magruder will be the guy that misses out on that rotation once Paul George returns. It has not been a good preseason for Landry Shamet. 6 points on 30% shooting and 18% from 3. So we feel pretty confident that's going to bounce back up. But again, the problem with him is the lack of supporting stats. 1 rebound a game. The fact that he has had 3 assists per game is encouraging. I just see Shamet as really nothing more than a streamer. But the Clippers play, and I'm going to have a podcast on this next week, they play 2 of the first 3 days, including on the Tuesday when there's only 2 games on. So streaming in Shamet, streaming in Mo Harkless, streaming in Jermichael Green, Ivica Zubac, you're good value in those guys. Get a 2-for-1 to begin the year. But I don't think that Shamet is going to be a must-roster guy in 12-team leagues as we move forward. Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, they're doing their thing. High usage, 28 for Harrell, 30 for Williams off the bench. Ivica Zubac is going to be a shot blocking, rebounding, field goal percentage help in a back end 12 team, probably more 14 team league. Well, we've only seen 11 minutes for Kawhi Leonard. It's definitely not ideal. I think we are going to have less load management than last season, but there's significant risks with him, of course. I think we're all well aware of those risks associated with Kawhi Leonard, which makes him a really tough pick at the beginning of the draft. Let's look at the next team, and that is the LA Lakers. Some really impressive performances by a lot of these Lakers. A lot of this stuff is going to be amplified with LA. There's no doubt about that. Anthony Davis' assist numbers are really intriguing. 4 per game in the preseason, 13 and 6 in 21 minutes with 1.5 blocks as well. His shooting hasn't quite been there, just 11% on from three, so we know that's going to come. Now, the starting lineup, I think we're going to have LeBron, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, Davis, and JaVale McGee. Caldwell Pope could be replaced by Avery Bradley. I'm going back and forth on that. The bench unit, I think we're going to have Rondo, unfortunately, Alex Caruso, Avery Bradley, Kyle Kuzma, if he is healthy, and then Dwight Howard. If Kuzma isn't ready to go, Jared Dudley would be the guy that comes into that rotation at that spot. In terms of guys like KCP and Bradley and Rondo and Caruso, I don't think you should have any of them really near your roster at this point. Quinn Cook made his preseason debut and got red hot. You could see him coming in and taking minutes off those guys, but again, just a deeper league three-point streamer. JaVale's been great, 71% from the field, 2.2 blocks, 7.5 boards in only 17 minutes. That is plenty enough value to be a standard league guy. Well, Dwight Howard actually himself has been all right, 8.5 and 8.5, only 0.6 blocks. 59% from the field, and of course, he's still, in only 18 minutes a night, has taken almost 6 free throws a game and hit 57 of them. So even in limited minutes, he is pissing all over your free throw percentage category, and that's the concern with Dwight. So I'd leave him, Rondo, Caruso, KCP, Bradley, I'd leave them all on the waiver wire for 12-team leagues. I just don't get... Rondo's just been his usual bad self, in my opinion. 3.3 assists. He can be an assists streamer, but that's really about it. And him starting with LeBron would be a disaster. I don't think they're going to do that. I feel pretty confident in that. So he's going to be getting, you know, maybe 20 minutes max, and that's not enough to be a rosterable player in a standard league. Let's look at the Memphis Grizzlies. A couple of their games have been against non-NBA opponents. We haven't seen Jonas Valanciunas. He is likely to be ready for the beginning of the season, but not guaranteed. He's got foot soreness. Everything is pointing to him playing, though, so bear that in mind. I think their starters, and I'm not sure about this, and after yesterday's game, I could probably change this. Ja Morant, Grayson Allen. I think Dylan Brooks may start in there. Jay Crowder, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jonas Valanciunas. And off the bench, Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Bruno Caboclo, and Brandon Clark. Again, if I had to decide now, I made this graphic yesterday, I probably would put Brooks in over Allen, but it's another one of those things. Oh, Dylan Brooks went off. He had 30 points and no rebounds and no assists. He just got super hot shooting, and he's still, even with that performance, he's shooting only 42% from the field. He's averaging 0.8 assists, 1.3 rebounds, and not a 12-team league guy. Allen has outperformed him in the preseason, despite Brooks having that big game. As for Ja Morant, the shooting hasn't been great. Only 21 minutes. But the 8 assists is encouraging, 3 rebounds is encouraging, but you're going to have to really take a hit on those percentages, especially early on. Just hold tight. Jay Crowder not doing it for me for standard leagues. Interesting, with Valanciunas out, we're seeing a lot more Jaren Jackson at center, and it's helped his rebound numbers. 15 and 8 in 24 minutes with 1.5 blocks is impressive. 2 threes a game is also great on 39% shooting. Valanciunas coming back is going to be interesting how that pairing works. And as for Brandon Clark, 9 and 10 in just 18 minutes a game. If you want to have him on your standard league roster, I understand it. With Valanciunas out, I just think that everything is going to be quite limited when JV plays, and that's going to limit what Brandon can do. As for Caboclo, he's averaged 23 minutes in preseason. The blocks are nice, the steals are nice, the rebounds are pretty solid, but again, minutes are going to be the defining factor there for him. Kyle Anderson only played 20 minutes a game in his games. It just doesn't look like the playing time is going to quite be there for Kyle this season. The Miami Heat. I made a quick change to this starting lineup before I brought it in here because in 3 of the 4 preseason games for Miami, Duncan Robinson has started, and Eric Spoelstra said that today's rotation is likely the 10 guys they see are the 10 guys they're going to be playing most likely in the regular season beginning. So that's interesting to me. So I have put Duncan Robinson in there. That doesn't mean he's playing 30 a night, because I would be stunned if he played even over 20 a night. But I think they're going to have Justice Winslow, Jim Butler, Duncan Robinson, Kelly Olynyk, and Bam Adebayo. Then off the bench, the Iron Shoulder, Goran Dragic, Tyler Hero. Deion Waiters, Derek Jones Jr., and Myers Leonard. Now, Hero could very easily start, but again, people are getting super excited about Hero, and there are a couple of things, and I've mentioned this before, but Hero is averaging 16 points per game. Really good. 55% shooting, including 53% from three. It is not going to stick. This is a guy who is an elite free throw shooter, hasn't missed a free throw, and I think he is going to be the highest free throw percentage guy in the NBA this season. I've got no doubt about saying that. He also shot 35% from three in college. So there's a little bit of the Devin Booker about him in terms of people, oh, he's an elite shooter and then doesn't shoot good percentages from three, which was the case for Booker, I think, in three of his four NBA seasons. He's had 1 year at 38 and every year about 35 outside of that. He looks like a good shooter. He makes shots, but the percentages don't back it up. And that was the case for Hero in summer league, in college. But his start to the preseason has been really strong. Do I still like Hero as a late round pick? Sure, but I think everyone getting their hopes up and thinking that, I'm not trying to call anyone out, but I was getting into a back and forth with someone on the Basketball Monster forums about Hero saying, oh, he's the best shooter on the Heat. The other players are going to defer to him because they know he's the best shooter. I think we just need to calm down a little bit when talking about these rookies. I think this is not a great rookie class, and we're getting a lot of elevated performances by guys. Hero's getting these shots because Jimmy Butler has a usage of 17%, averaging 8 points. Like, Butler is not going to say, nah, you know what, everyone else, you take all the shots and I'll sit back. I just do not see Jimmy Butler doing that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Butler's changed. I don't see that being the case. Right, Deion Waiters has had some personal issues. It's kept him out as well. Hero is fine at the last round pick, but second, if you want to give him in round 11, that's fine as well. You know, who cares about those spots? Because you're looking for upside, and that's exactly what you're getting there. But to say that he's walking into a 32-minute role, a 31-minute role, scoring 16 a night with three threes and five assists, like, it's delusional to think that it's delusional to expect that. You could say, hey, everything goes right, maybe I could see this happening, and I completely understand that. But we need to just really, you know, calm it down and have a look at this. Now, as for Duncan Robinson, as I said, he's started three of the four games. He's shot 27% from three, so it's been piss poor. And he is not a standard league relevant player, even if he starts. Starting does not mean that you are a fantasy relevant player. Speaking of fantasy relevant, though, Bam Adebayo, 94% on his free throws on five attempts per game. That is super. That just gives him value. 12 and 8 with 2.3 blocks. If you're drafting on ESPN, they still seem to think that he is outside the top 100. So go and add him. The Iron Shoulder, 2.5 threes for Goran Dragic, 4.5 assists in preseason. Some interesting numbers there for him. Justice Winslow's been bad. The free throws remain bad. The field goal percentage has not been good. 10-4-4 with half a steal. I like him as a late round pick, but there are people who get super excited about Winslow. I am just not convinced that he is an above average NBA player at this point in his career. Let's move on now to the next team. We're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think there's really all that much to say about Milwaukee. I've got their starters looking as, and this is assuming Eric Bledsoe's out for the beginning of the season. That's not guaranteed, but this is without Bledsoe. George Hill, Wes Matthews, Chris Middleton, Gianni Antetokounmpo, and Brook Lopez. Then off the bench, Frank Mason, Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, Ersan Ilyasova, and Robin Lopez. Now, if Bledsoe plays, Hill goes down, replaces Mason, and Bledsoe starts. I think we're pretty confident that DiVincenzo is going to be in that backup role. He's averaged 11 points in 21 minutes. Budenholzer likes him. Deeper leagues, you want to pay some attention there. Sterling Brown's looked all right as well. He's also shooting an unsustainable 65%, so that'll likely come down. Brookie Lopez is just doing what he does. Dragan Bender's been great. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 threes, 1.5 blocks. It's coming on 61% shooting, including 54% from 3, and 18 minutes a night. As you can see, I don't even have him as a rotation guy. Unless you think he's going to be ahead of Ilyasova or Robin Lopez, and this is not even including DJ Wilson, who hasn't played yet and is going to make his debut on Thursday after having some hamstring issues. So Bender, you could say, is at best the fifth big. Maybe he's the sixth big. Maybe he jumps ahead of Ilyasova. I just don't see it at this point. But it has been encouraging from Bender. Everything else from the Bucks has been pretty straightforward. Interesting, Giannis has hit 73% of his free throws and 43% of his threes, attempting 3.5 per game from deep. So that's an impressive number, and it's something that we, of course, have to pay attention to with Giannis as we move forward, because that's the thing that could vault him right up into that top three or top two discussion. The next team we look at is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Their rotation has been quite telling, I believe, in the preseason. Now, coaches can change this, but the fact that they have started Andrew Wiggins at shooting guard pretty much every game and either Jake Layman or Trevion Graham at small forward. So I think their starters are going to be Jeff Teague. Got to push my button.
My name is Jeff.
Andy Wiggins, Jake Layman, Bob Covington and Karl Anthony Towns. And then on the bench, Shabazz Napier, Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, Jordan Bell and Noah Vonleh. I'm not super convinced about Vonleh being in that rotation there. I would like to see Keita Bates-Jopp in there. I'd like to maybe even Gorgui Dieng. I just don't think that's how they're going to go. Jarrett Culver, I think he's going to be coming off the bench. He's averaged 13.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shooting 47%. The threes aren't there, 28%. The free throws aren't there. They also weren't there in college, so that's a concern. He's playing 24 minutes a night with a 23% usage. Again, like Tyler Hero, he's fine as a late-round pick, but just assuming he's banging in at 30 minutes a night straight away, I don't think is the case, especially considering in that night where they had basically a rehearsals-type situation for preseason for regular season rotations. He played 7 first-half minutes and came off the bench as the 7th man behind Okogie and ended up playing 20 minutes for the game but got a lot of garbage time minutes down the end. So that's a concern. And I'm not massive, not as high on Culver as other people are, no doubt, but I think we do have to pay attention to this. Covington's shot hasn't been falling. The rebounds were really nice in the last game. He had 19 of them, which is crazy. Towns has been doing Towns things, so no need to worry about him. Okogie, really just going to be a steal stream, but there are better steal streamers available, which we'll get to one of those guys later. Jeff Teague has been pretty putrid in his 17 minutes, 6 points with 3 assists, but he's not playing 17 minutes a night. That's another reason why you look at performances from guys like Culver and Napier and expect some of that playing time to drop off. Next up, let's look at the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, at the time of me recording this, we don't have an answer, which is obviously a concern, but Zion Williamson is going to be playing, he's going to be missing Friday's game against the New York Knicks with knee soreness. Now, I don't say this. I don't say this to be aggressive. I don't say this to be to induce panic. But what I have heard on Williamson's knee is a torn meniscus. That is one anonymous poster on the Pelicans message board that was mentioned by Mason Ginsberg, who you'd know as a Pelicans writer and podcast host. But the reason why he's giving credence to it is that 4 hours, I think it was 4 hours before the Pelicans announced the knee injury for Lonzo. This is on a Lonzo thread. Someone said, yeah, he's the best preseason ever. I'm all on board. And this guy came in and commented, I think you'll slow your roll when the Pelicans announced his injury. And no one had heard anything. And then 4 hours later, the Pelicans came out and said Zion is going to be missing the preseason game for knee soreness. Adrian Wojnarowski then came out and said, this is not precautionary rest. This is not your standard preseason rest. He is having an evaluation on this knee. And then that same bloke came back, who'd posted that he was going to be out with an injury, said it's a torn meniscus. That could be a 6-week injury. That could be a 3-month injury. It is not great. It's not a great start, and this is speculation at this point, but I think we have to be prepared for the fact that Zion could be missing time. Now, I think the starters are going to be Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Zion, and Derek Favors, with Nikhil Alexander-Walker, JJ Redick, Kenrick Williams, Nicola Melli, and Jahlil Okafor coming off the bench. You'll notice that Josh the Hitman Hart is not included in that bunch. I was debating him and Williams, but Williams has been pretty good for this team throughout the preseason. He's just a smart player, really strong defensively. He's got the size to guard those to guard wings. Hart has not been impressive. The shooting's not there, and I think Joshy might miss out on the rotation. As for Drew Holiday, averaging 16 points in 20 minutes, the shooting's been spectacular, 60% from the field. That's going to come down because it includes 81% on twos. He is going to be a strong second round sort of a guy. Zion's been great as well, 23 points on 71% shooting, no blocks, 1.5 steals is really nice, but again, we worry about this knee issue. Alexander Walker also, I've talked about him ad nauseum, 30% usage is not going to stick. 15 points per game, 5 assists per game. if you want to take a flyer on him, sure, I would rather take that flyer on Hero. I'd rather take it on Culver. He just seems like he is, you know, fourth guard at the moment, behind Drew, behind Lonzo, and behind, of course, JJ Redick. We forget about JJ Redick, who has played just 13 minutes a night in preseason, so that is definitely going to come up. Drew's played 20 a night, Lonzo's played 23, so a lot of these opportunities that Alexander Walker's been afforded, he's not going to get them. Nicola Melli is hitting his threes, you know, okay, or more the volume is interesting there. He's averaging 9 and 6 with 1.5 threes. Still just a deeper league sort of a guy. Well, Derek Favors has been a poor start. 3 and 4. His last game, he looked better. 9 and 9 with a couple of blocks in that game. But he's only shooting 40% from the field. He's averaging just 15 minutes a night. I think some of that is the hamstring issue. I still like him as a mid to late round center. I've probably backed off a little bit from where he was. But again, he was a guy whose ADP went from like 130 to down to 30, which made him way too overpriced. And now it's, you know, pushed back into a decent range. We can get him in the 70s to 80s. I think he'll be much better than what we've seen in the preseason. Both he and Redick, the two older guys on this team, have had their minutes significantly managed throughout the preseason so far. Let's go on to the next team, the New York Knicks. Has Fizdale started his foolishness already? You would have to say yes, because it's Fizdale and because I give him absolutely no benefit of the doubt. But last game, he brought Bobby Portis, Punch Bob, in as the starting center and put Mitchell Robinson on the bench. I've expressed my concerns about Robinson as a player multiple times in terms of fantasy value. Some people were touting him as a back-end first-round guy, a second-round player, and I said it's really hard to be a guy or to look at a guy who has foul trouble, who's got a nonsense coach, but also whose value is tied so heavily to that block rate. And if he stays on the court more, the block rate will tend to come down. We've seen that. And when his numbers can fluctuate with foul trouble and minutes, yeah, that makes it hard in a head-to-head league. But then his deficiencies in assists and threes and steals and free throw percentage make him a hard roster in Roto League. So there is, you're sort of, you know, the categorical variance makes him better in a Roto League, but then he's got so much of that, of those negative categories, which makes him harder to roster there. And then last game, you know, came off the bench. I think he fouled out in 11 minutes the game before. So we know that there is going to be Fizdale absolute foolishness happening in this season, and Robinson is going to cop it. The other foolishness is RJ Barrett is playing 38 minutes a night in the preseason. Like, what are you doing? Why are you playing him 38 minutes a night? I guess it's encouraging that we say, well, he's going to at least give him 30 a night to begin the year. But why is he playing 38 a night? He's averaging 15 and 7 with a steal, 3.3 assist, and the shooting has been absolutely horrible. And that's the concern with Barrett, is the lack of defense and the poor shooting. He's still a guy you look at in those late rounds, but these minutes are out of control. Last year's player that was, of course, better than Luka Doncic, Alonzo Trier, is barely playing, and I'm not even sure he's going to be in the rotation. In fact, I think we're going to have Dennis Smith, RJ Barrett, Marcus Morris, because why wouldn't you play an old, out-of-position power forward at small forward, Julius Randle and Robinson, and then off the bench, Alfred Payton, Wayne Ellington, the Duke, the Fort, Kevin Knox, Taj Gibson, and Bobby Portis. But of course, that doesn't include Frank Ntilikina there. I would love to see them give those minutes to Frank, because they should, but of course, he's European, so Fizdale won't play him. Knox has not been great at all in his NBA career. He's averaging 11 points on 35% shooting. No defensive numbers yet again from the Fort. As for Robinson, he's averaging 4 points in 19 minutes, 5 rebounds and 2 blocks. I think we can have a level of confidence that the 39% shooting that Robinson's dealing with is going to come up, so there's not too much of a concern with that. As for Punch Bob, 30 minutes a night, 14 and 8, no defensive numbers as usual, jacking shots, 14% from 3. Even in big minutes, he's never been a must-roster guy for some of his deficiencies. Well, Marcus Morris, the numbers look great. In fact, he's the 24th ranked fantasy player through the preseason. 17 and 7 for Morris on 53% shooting, of course. 50% from 3. Those numbers are going to come down. Defensive numbers, he's actually blocked a shot a game. I don't buy that. No assists. I think he's more of a... You can add him at the back end of your draft if you want, but you know, if he finishes in the top 100, I'd be fairly surprised. But this team, there's going to be so many frustrations with this Knicks team and me with Fizdale. So if you don't want to hear me talk about Fizdale, I'll give you warnings where not to listen, because he has been, again, foolish once again. Let's look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're hard to get too much of a grasp on what's happened here with this squad. Gilgeous Alexander scoring a ton, huge usage, 30% usage through the preseason, averaging 19 and 5. Only 1.3 assists with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder getting a lot of those assists. So that's a concern with Shea, but still mid-rounds is fine. I think they go into the starting Chris Paul, Gilgeous Alexander, Terry Ferguson, the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
and of course Steve Adams as the center. On the bench, Dennis Schroeder, MC Hamadou Diallo, Andre Robertson, Darius Bazley, and Nerlens Noel. Adams has hit a three, which is interesting. He's averaging 16 and 7 with a 26 usage. I find it hard to believe that will continue. He's also shooting the free throws horribly once again. The Rooster, 14 and 8 for Gallinari, 22 minutes. It just looks primed for some pretty big numbers. As for Chris Paul, 6-3 and 4 in 19 minutes. The assists are set there. The steals haven't come. I'm not too worried about the per-game production there. While Bazley's looked all right, I think he's forced himself into the rotation. 8 and 6 with a 3 per game. The shooting isn't there. The defensive numbers, no blocks at all at this point. But he is an interesting player, at least for those deeper league guys. While I see Hamadou Diallo, again, I think he's in the rotation, but he is not a great fantasy prospect, really just a deeper league guy. While Schroeder's averaged 24 minutes a night, that will come down in the regular season. He's averaging 6 assists with 4 rebounds, poor shooting once again. But once Gildas Alexander's minutes go up and once Chris Paul's go up, then Schroeder's are going to come down. He's not going to have that level of impact. The next team up is the Orlando Magic. And there's been some interesting performances from them. We heard a lot of squawking about Mo Bamba early in the preseason. That has dropped off somewhat. He's hit his threes at a really strong rate, 46%, averaging 11 and 5 with 2 blocks. There's some good numbers there, but I just don't see the upside in minutes. They're not taking that playing time away from Nikola Vucevic to get that extra playing time. Vuce has played just 20 minutes a game in preseason. Their starters, DJ Augustin, Evan Fournier, who's dealing with a back issue. I don't think it's serious. Johnny Isaac, Aaron Gordon, and Vooch. And then off the bench, only 4 guys because Steve Clifford loves a 9-man rotation. Markel Fultz, Terry Ross, the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
And Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Isaac's been great. 10 points in 24 minutes. The blocks and the steals are huge. 1.8 steals, 1.6 blocks. The shooting's not quite there, but those defensive numbers are great. Terry Ross is doing what he does, points and threes. Carter Williams, could he be in the rotation as a 10th guy if Clifford does extend that? Yeah, maybe. As for Fultz, only 7 points a game, 4.4 assists and 2 steals. The assists are good, the steals are good, the shooting's horrible. He is at 71% from the line, so that's an improvement, but just 32% from the field. Hasn't hit a 3 yet either. I'm all for taking him as a flyer, but if it looks like he's going to be the backup for the first 2 months of the season, it's really hard to justify holding on to Fultz in any sort of daily changes format. Fournier's been horrible as well, just 4 points per game. Dealing with that back issue, I'm not too concerned. He's still okay as a later round guy. Let's move on to the Philadelphia 76ers. Lots of interesting things here with this Philly team. Benny Simmons, of course, hit that 1-3. He's averaged 13, 7, and 5. Not much to be concerned about there. I love what we've seen from Joshy Richardson. 14 points, almost 5 assists, but most importantly, 2.3 steals and 0.8 blocks. This is what we hoped would happen, is that now that he doesn't have to focus on his offense as much, the defensive numbers would come back. Well, so far, so good in preseason. They have been fantastic, and that makes him an interesting mid-round guy. Of course, the player that everyone's talking about on this squad, we'll talk about, actually, we'll get to him in a second, because I think this is how we'll see the rotation run out for them. Benny Simmons, Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Joel Embiid. They're your starters. And then off the bench, Trey Burke, the painter Matisse Thybulle, Jimmy Ennis, Mike Scott, and the cock monster Kyle O'Quinn. The player that everyone's talking about is the painter, Matisse Thybulle, who is averaging, in 19 minutes, 3 steals and 1.5 blocks. And normally I'd see that and go, well, that's going to come down. But you know what? With this guy, I don't even know that it will. His steal rate in college was out of control. His block rate was out of control. It was the same in summer league. It is the same in preseason. At some point, I just have to say, no, he is just absolutely a candidate as a rookie for an all-defensive type of guy if he got enough minutes. Now, at this point, he is their 6th man. First guard off the bench, 20 minutes a night, I think he's going to get. Now, pushing into the more minutes than that with those starters is really, really hard. And it's going to take an injury. But even though he's probably not going to do that, if he gets you 1.8 steals and a block a game, that's enough to be a 12-team league guy, even if he averages 6 points. But he could do average 6 points and hit a 3. There's value in that. He could very easily, the painter, he could very easily be a triple one player this season. Great value. Horford, 10 points in 20 minutes. He's been fine. Nothing to write home about. Toby Harris, no defense as per usual. The efficiency hasn't come back. He was terrible in terms of efficiency in Philadelphia last season. Nothing has changed to that respect so far, but still remains that mid-round guy who is getting a little bit overdrafted, in my opinion, in some situations, as I've mentioned plenty of times before. Let's look now at the next team, which is the Phoenix Suns. Still some concerns with some of the rotation stuff with this team that we haven't figured out. Devin Booker, the assist numbers have dropped off. The shooting isn't quite there, but the numbers are still fine. DeAndre Ayton averaging 14 and 7 in 21 minutes, blocking a shot a game. Encouraging as well. He's a second round guy. Ravishing Rick averaging 7, 3, and 6. Yeah, really good numbers from him. The shooting not there. I think we're going to start with Ravishing Rick Rubio, Devin Booker, Kelly Oubre, Dario Saric, and DeAndre Ayton. Then off the bench, two Johnsons, Tyler Johnson, Cameron Johnson, McCall Bridges, Frank the Tank Kaminsky, and Aaron Baines. You could see Ty Jerome at some point push in over Tyler Johnson, who's had some knee issues. So Jerome could be an interesting assist streamer in the JJ Barea mold that we've seen, but I'm not getting too excited there. Johnson is a three-point streamer. Cam Johnson, that is, who's hit 2.3 per game throughout the preseason. He's an elite three-point shooter. And the other name who's been good in preseason is the Tank. Frank Kaminsky, he's averaged 13.5, two threes a game. We sort of know who he is. I'm not getting overly excited about it. Bridges is still bringing the steal numbers, 1.7 per game, not much else, but those steals are still really valuable. While Oubre has come in, he's averaged 12.7 points. A lot of those came in the one game where Booker and Ayton were all out. The defensive numbers are still pretty strong, but he's hitting just 26% of his shots. So that's likely to improve. Not likely, it's definitely going to improve for Kelly Oubre Jr. The Portland Trailblazers. We don't know yet, but Hassan Whiteside did roll his ankle last game, so there's a chance he may miss opening night. But assuming he plays, the starting lineup will be Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Rocket Rodney Hood, Zach Collins, and Hassan Whiteside. Off the bench, Anthony Simons, Kent Bazemore, It's-a-me Mario Hezonja.
It's-a-me Mario!
Scalabissier, and I do have Pau Gasol in there. I'm not 100% confident in that. We could also see Anthony Tolliver in that role. Pau hasn't played in preseason, so I'm a little bit skeptical of Pau. I think Tolliver would be the guy to replace him. Lillard and McCollum have been strong. They're shooting the ball really well. CJ especially, 60% from the field. That's going to come down. He's not doing much else, which is usual. He's also not hitting free throws, and that's going to improve 44%, so don't worry too much there. I've been super impressed with Zach Collins. I love him in that 80 to 100 zone. 14 and 7, 1.5 blocks, efficient from the field and from the line, while Whiteside's average 8 and 7. The free throws are impressive, 67%, and I say impressive because he was like 40% guy last year. Can he be 70%? I think there's a chance. Anthony Simons is probably going to be more of a points streamer for 12-teamers, more of a 16-team league player. He's averaging 13 in 23 minutes. Bazemore can be a steal streamer, and so Hezonja is more of that deeper league guy. But it does look like at least he's a rotation player, and I'm not interested in Rodney Hood for standard leagues. Just no appeal to me whatsoever as anything more than a streamer. We're getting towards the end of this podcast. It is a real long one, so I apologize for that. The Sacramento Kings we take a look at now. I think their starters will be De'Aaron Fox, Budrick Hield, the Pencil, Harrison Barnes, Barnesy, Marvin Bagley, and the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman. Off the bench, Corey Joseph, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Trevor Ariza, Nemanja Bjelica, and Rishaun Holmes. Harry Giles is not going to play in the season opener, I'm pretty confident. I am super worried about his knees, so that pushes Holmes absolutely into a 12-team watch list scenario, but a must-grab 16-teamer and 14-teamer. And the reason I've got him on a watch list is Luke Walton's history with centers, and if he plays, you know, 23 minutes for Dedman, 23 minutes for Holmes, Holmes can be a useful player. Now, it's not to say that Rishaun Holmes has had the greatest preseason, 8-5 with a steal and a block, but he's shooting 82% from the field, so he's always been a name to watch. Bogdanovic has been fine. He's a fine late-round pick. Bud Hield, the interesting stuff from Hield, talking about the contract extension stuff. He goes, well, if I don't get what I want, I'll look for a new team. He is a restricted free agent, but he also said like he'd look for a new team, as in I'll request a trade this season, which was super interesting. And of course, people came at me, what does this mean for his fantasy? But I don't really think we need to overreact or panic or anything like that. I'd be highly surprised if Hield is moved this season, so I wouldn't be panicking too much. He's done what we wanted. He's also done more than we wanted in giving us 4 assists per game, but I wouldn't get too excited about that. Bagley's also been as expected, 18 and 10, a block a game, 51%, and poor free throws, while De'Aaron Fox averaging 14, 2, and 6. Yeah, pretty much what we expect from these players. An interesting performer has been Kevin Ferrell, Yogi Ferrell, who's been playing over Corey Joseph, scored really well last game. And more just a deeper league guy to keep an eye on. Well, Nemanja Bjelica, I saw him ranked 120th somewhere, which is absolutely full-heartedly stupid. I can't see why you'd want anything to do with him in a 12-teamer. Well, Trevor Ariza, he's been dealing with lipomas on his back, and that's why he's only played the two games. He is not going to be really anything of a fantasy factor. Thank God for that. All right, let's go on to the San Antonio Spurs now. And look at these guys at starters. I think we're going to have DeJounte Murray, Bryn Forbes, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Jakob Poeltl. Off the bench, we'll have Maximum Derek White.
Maximum Derek.
Patty Mills, Marco Bellinelli, Rudy Gay, and Damari Carroll. Now, Bellinelli could be replaced by either Lonnie Walker or could be replaced by Trey Lyles, depending on how they want to run things. As for the Derek White situation, it has not been good. He's averaged just 19 minutes a game, 5, 3, and 4, but still, 0.8 steals, 0.8 blocks in 19 minutes, and he's shooting just 31% from the field. That improved from where it was last time I talked about it, which was 19%. He had a strong game, but the fact is he is playing really only behind DeJounte, who's looked really great, DeJounte Murray. 11, 3, and 4 with a steal in only 18 minutes. I'd probably have Murray ahead of White at this point. I'm not panicking with White. I would love to see them play together. We just haven't seen it at all. That's the case, and we see 30 minutes from DeJounte and 18 minutes from White, then he's obviously a really hard hold. But I have some faith that he'll play a bit more than that. Bryn Forbes is doing what he does, hit threes and absolutely nothing else. 15 points, 3 triples, and then under 2 rebounds, under 1 assist, 1 steal through 4 games as well. This is what Forbes does. Lyles hasn't been impressive. Bellinelli's done nothing. DeRozan, of course, he's not hitting his threes. He's giving us limited rebounds and assists. I think there is a bit of a drop-off coming for him, and I have worried out loud about Aldridge at his advanced age, whether there's going to be some level of decline from him. Let's move on now to the next team, and that is the Toronto Raptors, your NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Rotation still not settled for them as well. I think we'll get Kyle Lowry, Norm Powell, the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
Pascal Siakam and Mark Gasol.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Off the bench, Fred VanVleet, Terrence Davis, Pat McCaw, who's dealing with a knee issue, Chris Boucher and Serge Ibaka. You'll notice Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson out of the rotation because they have been horrible. Siakam's been pretty good. The efficiency has been dinged somewhat, 20 points on 48%, but really good. But we have to remember that his numbers, assist numbers, and Fred VanVleet's assist numbers are helped by the fact that Lowry hasn't played yet. Boucher averaging 10 and 4. Gasol not doing too much. Ibaka's averaging 15 points in his two games on 68% shooting, so there's elements of regression coming there. I really like VanVleet as a top 100 guy. Powell is averaging 18 points in his 20 minutes. He's an interesting, deeper points and three streamer. He offers not much more else, and that's what limits his value. Put him in that Colin Sexton sort of a class. The next one we look at, the Utah Jazz. It has been a bad preseason for Utah. Their defense has struggled. Bojan Bogdanovic has struggled as well. I think they're going to start Mike Conley, the Don, Donovan Mitchell.
He's Don. He's good.
Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, and Rudy Gobert. Then off the bench, Emmanuel Mudiay, Jinglin Joe Ingles, Jeff Green, George Niang, and Ed Davis. Dante Exum I would have in there over Niang, but he's still dealing with a knee injury. Ingles is giving us 6 assists per game still, so that value is still there regardless of if he's starting or not. Don Mitchell's been great. Conley averaging 11 and 4 in his 23 minutes. The shot just isn't there for Conley, 27% from 3, so no panic really required. Well, Jeff Green has actually been pretty strong. Now, I don't think that he's a 12-team league guy, but 13 points per game on 68% shooting is obviously pretty good. Bogdanovic is the opposite, 27% shooting. Now, I don't think that Bogdanovic was going to be anywhere near what he was in Indiana. I still think he's going to be better than this, so he's worth a hold in 12-team leagues. But it's something to watch out for, no doubt. Well, Ed Davis is giving us rebounds and not much else. And even if Royce O'Neal starts, I don't think he's too much of a fantasy option. The last team we look at, the Washington Wizards, injuries, of course, are a real concern. It doesn't look like Troy Brown or Isaiah Thomas are going to be ready to begin this season. Justin Anderson has been starting at small forward and they've waived him. Brad Beal just signed an extension today. That means he can't be traded this season. That means two things. He can't be traded, obviously. Does it also mean that they will be less likely to play him big minutes to push him through for all NBA for Supermax qualifications because they've signed the contract, so that doesn't actually play into it. There are concerns there with Beal, of course. I don't think he's leading the NBA in minutes again. So I think their starters will be Ish Smith, Brad Beal, Isaac Bonga, Rui Hachimura, and the tank, Thomas Bryant. You could very easily see them go with a Bertans and Hachimura starting lineup. That hasn't happened in preseason at all. It's been Bonga or it's been Anderson there in that role. Bonga's also dealing with an ankle problem at the moment. On the bench, I think we'll have Justin Robinson, we'll have Jordy McRae, Admiral Schofield, Bertans, and Flaming Mo Wagner. Wagner's been pretty strong in preseason, averaging 16 points in 23 minutes, but those minutes just won't be there during the season. Tommy Bryant, averaging 13-9. The field goal percentage isn't quite there for Bryant, but I really like him in the mid-rounds. Bertans, despite the idea that he's been pretty quiet, he's still hitting 3 threes a game, 9 points a game, 80% free throw, which makes him a top 75 preseason guy, to be fair to him. Beal just doing what he needs to do. And then it's a whole bunch of bullshit. Yeah, Schofield and Bonga and even Rui. Rui is the 350th ranked fantasy player in preseason, averaging 11-8. Because he's shooting 44% from the line on 5 attempts per game, 41% from the field, 33% from three. He'll be better than that in those areas, but the lack of assists, defense, three-point volume, and overall efficiency is what's going to hurt him. Still like him as a 12-team league guy. I'd probably have Paul Washington Jr. over Rui at this point, but they are debatable at the back end of a fantasy draft. That is all of the teams in the NBA. Let me know what you disagree with in the comments on YouTube, or tweet at me at redrock_Beeble, or in the comments on Instagram at LockedOnFantasyBasketball as well. Next week, we'll have a week one preview. We'll have some DFS previews and then straight into our regular season content. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Buddy Hield.